All right, tonight, if you would take your scriptures and open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, the book of 1 Corinthians, this first letter that Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He has gotten past some of the problems in the church, and now he's trying to give them some instruction concerning the ways of the church. And we come to chapter 14, and there's a lot of things in chapter 14 that we certainly don't have time to go into tonight, but I want to use just a phrase or two to show some things that we have before us, and we are in a battle continually, not just ever so often, but I believe the child of God's in a battle all the time. And I don't think I'm any different than anybody else, and I know there's battles all the time. And so we read tonight in this passage. He tells in chapter number 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 6, and we'll read down a few verses verses here, and may the Lord bless His word as we read it. All right, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 6. He says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, and even things without life giving sound, or the pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Paul, if we should take chapter 14, it is a exposition upon the subject of tongues, and he uses that even in part of the verses that I read just a moment ago. But I don't want to deal with that tonight, because that would get into a lot of different avenues and things, and we certainly wouldn't get through in one service. And but there's a lot of confusion tonight about that particular subject. But I believe in the early church there was somebody asked me one time if I believed in tongues. I said, yes, I do. The scripture is very explicit about the use of those different tongues to edify. And Paul even uses here that if you're going to do it, excel in edifying the church. Anything that will help us, will edify us, is from the Lord. Now, I do not believe in what it's classified as, the unknown gibberish or tongue that nobody can interpret. I believe the tongue in the New Testament is language, and so we're not going to get into all those different facets of that. But Paul uses that as a reference, and he tells us here that if I come speaking with tongues, and there is not the word unknown tongue. If you'll notice in your scripture, just by way of in passing, when you read the Bible, if you run up on the word unknown, that means that, and it's italicized. It's a little different in looks. It's not the same kind of print. And that is there to show the reader that that word is not in the text that was translated into English. It was inserted there for clearer understanding by the translators. And so we find Paul says here, "If I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you?" And he is dealing with having profit or excelling and having the edifying of the church. He said it's not going to help you unless it's by knowledge or by revelation or by prophecy or by doctrine. So those are things that Paul's dealing with. And in the early church, there were times that was needed to have the tongues available. And the scripture says if there was someone speaking in tongues, then there had to be an interpreter. Had to be someone that could tell the group what was said. On the day of Pentecost, there was quite a few groups of people there that were assembled there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says these men began to speak, and the word is unknown tongue. And the real miracle is that all those people that were standing there and listening to those men preach the gospel, they heard it in their own, it's very clear, heard it in their own language. And so the interpreter there was the work of the Holy Spirit, and they heard the message that needed to be given so the gospel could go worldwide. And we're in between time there in the first part of the book of Acts. Now Paul has gone out and he's established this Corinthian church, and he's been busy in what we would call mission work. And he tells the church here, if you desire this, then the best thing is that you be able to be understood. It's not good just to have something because it's a gift, but have it understood. He said, because if you don't, you're going to be like a barbarian. That just simply means they're not going to understand you. And he says, they will be a barbarian to me because I can't understand them. And he puts a little phrase in here that I want to use tonight in verse number 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpeter, if the clarion trumpet gives a call, and they didn't understand it, they could not prepare. In the day and age that the Roman Empire, and even in the Old Testament, there are scriptures that deal with the trumpet call. We sing about the call of the trumpet. Jesus said we'd hear the sound of the trumpet, and that certainly will not be an unrecognizable sound to the child of God. We'll hear the sound of the trumpet and we'll go up to be with the Lord. And so the word trumpet there is always in representation of bringing ourselves to an attention to something that is coming up. Now the trumpeters in the Old Testament, even in some in the New Testament, they had certain calls or certain sounds, and those sounds everybody would know what it was. They understood that. It was a certain sound. And when we have bad weather and storms like yesterday, and probably have some other time, every once in a while we hear the sirens go off. That's a very certain sound for us to realize that there's a problem. There's either a storm warning or a tornado watch or a tornado warning, but that siren that goes off is a is the modern style of the trumpeter that would tell the people of the city certain things. Some would be for an announcement. Some would be for a call to battle. Some would be for a call to do something different. One particular sound would be for a gathering in the midst of the town. And so Paul uses that as a part of the message here. He says, if that trumpet give an uncertain sound, if you don't know what it means, how are you going to prepare? If you don't know what the sound is, how are you going to go to battle? And so I want us to think tonight about this battleground that we are in, and how that we do have a clarion call. We do have a sound of the trumpet that tells us and gives us instructions how that we can fight the battle. The Lord has given us in the book of Ephesians a list of the armor of God and how that we are to put on the whole armor of God, not just a portion of it. Don't just have the shield. Don't just have the shoes. Don't just have the breastplate, but put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to ward off the darts of the wicked one and those that think that come to us that we can take care of the battle that is before us. But if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? I want to think just a few minutes tonight about the battles that we believers have. And we have a trumpet. We have a sound. We have a message that tells us how to fight the battle. We have a book that gives us instruction on how to take care of these things. And you could go off into a lot of things tonight. There's a lot of books that call themselves Bibles, but they give an uncertain sound. They don't give the full message. They don't give the full instruction. Leave out things, put in things. And so it's uncertain. And I've asked time and time again different ones, how do you know which one's right? How do you know which one is the Word of God? If they're all different, and they'll come back and say, well, they're really the same. Well, I'll tell you what, when you leave out many, many times the word Jesus and leave out the word Lord and leave out different important doctrines of the Word of God, they are not the same. Anything that's different is not the same. And so we have some unclear sounds that are going on in our country, in our world, our community, and we have some things that are giving some uncertain sound, and I believe that's why a lot of people don't know how to go to battle. I believe that's why they don't know how to fight their war and fight the battle that they have, because they just don't have the clear-cut understanding of what thus saith the Lord. So if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? And he says, he uses the illustration there. He says, so likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. And so Paul uses that. He says there's got to be clarity on what we stand upon and where we fight our battles. I believe all of us realize tonight that we are in a continual battle with Satan. He never lets up. He never backs off. Seemingly, he never slows down. And he's always battling our faith. He's always putting things before us that would make us doubt or make us wonder concerning our faith. I don't know if you've ever wondered this, but I'm sure we have, all of us. We get in a battle sometimes and we say, am I really a child of God? Do I really know that I know that I know that I'm saved? And you know how we can know that? By the Word of God. We have the clear-cut understanding of God's Word. And we can look into the Scripture and find out, the Lord says, if you do this, I'll do that. And thank God tonight He's never failed on His promise. He has never failed on doing what He said He would do. And if we come to the Lord in faith believing, that word faith just simply means total dependence upon. We depend upon the Lord. Now, society and doctors and all the different things that you can think of in our world, they will put questions about your faith. Well, how do you know? How can you know? Anybody ever had somebody say, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I've had people ask me that. Well, are you sure? How do you know that that what this book says is real? And the only thing we have tonight is that we believe, and by faith we accept what this book says. You see, our foundation is not what we think. Our foundation is what is written. Our foundation is upon not our feelings, but our foundation is upon our faith in the Word of God. And the devil will come to you. He may come to you tonight before you pillow your head. He may come to you this week before the next Lord's Day. And he'll fight you at your place of faith. He'll fight you at your heart. And he'll come and deceive you. And he'll come and throw those fiery darts. And sometimes we miss them and they pierce us. And we begin to wonder, well, maybe this is not exactly what somebody said. Maybe it's not exactly what I've always thought it was. And he's planted that seed and he's planted that portion in your heart to question. I'll tell you what, if you have true faith in the Lord, before long, this book will speak to our heart and make us realize that we may be battling in our faith and be battling some things about our faith, but we find truth in God's Word, and our belief in His Word will build up our faith. And we have it by a clear-cut understanding of God's Word. We have it by a clear word or a clear message. He says, if I come and you don't understand it, what good is it? If I speak and you don't understand me, what profit is that? If the trumpet gives that sound, how are you going to know? Are you supposed to go to battle? Are you supposed to meet in the market square? Are you supposed to do something else if that sound is uncertain? And so our faith in the things of the Lord, and we must, by the way, the Word of God's easy to understand. I get so tired of hearing people say, well, it's so hard to understand the Bible. It's not hard to understand, it's just more hard many times to believe it. We understand what it says. We understand what it gives us, but we have a hard time believing it. We have a hard time accepting that. So our faith is on the battlefield continually. Our faith, and I'm not talking about the faith of whatever denomination you want to call yourself. I'm talking about our faith of knowing Christ. Our faith of being built up in the things of the Lord. And so Satan is always attacking our faith. He attacks us in ourself, in our flesh. Our old flesh, I've said so many times, my flesh isn't saved yet. My soul has been born again. I'm a child of God. But this old flesh that houses who I really am, it hadn't been redeemed yet. We're awaiting the adoption. We're awaiting the change that takes place. And then our flesh will be, and we'll be just like the Lord. We sometimes are so weak spiritually that we do not take a strong stand for the God, for the Lord. And we sort of backpedal, and sometimes worldly things come and take place in our heart that spiritual things should come, and we stay right on the edge of living for the Lord or living for self, living for the world. We don't want to get too far over here and be called an individual that's just a fanatic. The word fanatic, we get the word fan from that word. And yesterday when Kentucky beat Florida, you know what? There's a lot of fanatics over there in that stadium, about 100,000 of them. They were fans. Now, most of them wasn't too happy because they played in Florida. But those others were there. They were ecstatic. They were happy. They'd broken that longest record of being defeated by the 31 different years, I think. Kentucky had never beaten Florida. And they beat them yesterday. And you know what? Those people were fanatics. If we did that for the cause of Christ, they would say we were crazy. If you look into the stands, you see their face painted. You see their body painted. You see all the different things that show they are a fan. They're fanatic. They're just strange. And some of them are. They're just this strange way they act. And some people look and say, well, I would never do that. And a lot of people look at us tonight as a child of God, the way we act, the way we talk, the things we do. There are people over there say, man, I wouldn't want to ever do that. They're just crazy. They're fanatics. Now, it's okay to be a fanatic for a ball game, but you can't be a fanatic for God. It's okay to do it for the world, but don't do it for anything spiritual. And so our flesh battles that. But I'm glad I have a very certain sound in the Word of God that tells me I can crucify the flesh. It tells me I can put the flesh to crucify it, put it to death, and let the Spirit of God work through me. I can be a fanatic and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I have a clarion call here. I have a trumpet here that gives me a very clear sound. It gives me understanding that God expects certain things from His people. And so the battle rages. Paul says, now you've got to have a trumpet that you understand. You've got to have a call that you understand, because if you don't have, then you will not know how to battle. If we didn't have the Word of God, we wouldn't know how to fight the wicked one. We wouldn't know how to deal with our flesh. Now, there's only two people that can deal with your flesh. And that's you and God. He can deal with it. He can handle it. But He asks us to do it first. He wants us to reckon, He wants us to examine ourselves. First of all, make sure we're in the faith. Make sure we're a believer. Have understand that there's nothing wrong with checking back and saying, yeah, I know I'm saved because I have a message from the Word of God that tells me I did what I'm supposed to do, and I know the day God came into my heart, or I know the time that He made a change in my life. And so we have a certainty of our faith, and therefore we can deal with the things of the flesh as we walk from day to day in the world in which God has given us, in the society which we have. You know, you and I tonight, we're living in a world that is very different than what our fathers and grandfathers, forefathers lived in. We live in a world that anything can happen anywhere, and just almost immediately we will know that. I don't remember if it was this morning or the other day, I got an alert on my phone. Certain thing happened in some country around the world, and it had just happened. Just immediate communication, immediate understanding. People used to sort of scorn the Bible and say, how in the world can the whole world see those two witnesses lying in the streets there dead? Well, if it happened tonight, the whole world would see it. So we're living in an exciting time. We're living in a fulfilling time. We better know the real call and the real clarion trumpet sound, because it makes a clear call. It's not undistinguishable. So we deal with our faith. We battle our flesh. We battle our sins, those sins that so easily beset us, and we are dealing with continual forgiveness. And sometimes I say, Lord, here I am again, same thing. We all do that. Lord, I failed again, same thing. And somebody says, well, you just never did really repent of it. You don't know my heart and I don't know yours. But I do know that there's sins that so easily come upon us. And we battle them. Not necessarily I want to do that, but just all of a sudden that flesh rises up against us and we're guilty again. And we have to deal with that sin and we have to ask forgiveness. There's those petty, what we call petty sins. I don't believe there's any such thing. Sin is sin. We call white lies, black lies, and all, they're just lies. When it comes to politicians, we say that they embellish. No, they lie. Same thing. That's what it is. Everybody else. And so the problem we have tonight is we don't want to distinguish and call it what it really is. Well, they made a mistake. No, they sinned. And that may have been a mistake, but it's still sin. And whoever it is, wherever we are, and I know I'm preaching from the pulpit that way and you're looking this way, but we're all guilty of sin. And we have a clarion call here. We have a trumpet that tells us how we can call upon Him and He will forgive us. I'm glad tonight that forgiveness is not a one-time expression. I'm glad the Lord just didn't forgive me the day I got saved or the night I got saved. I'm glad He continually forgives me. I'm glad that I repented that night and turned to the Lord and He took me and brought me to Himself and forgave me my sin. But you know what? He has to forgive me tonight for the things I've done today. And sometimes it's best just not wait till nighttime to take care of. When you realize it, that's when you say, God, forgive me. The devil is so sly that if you're not careful, you'll forget about what you did and you're still there. And it makes it easier the next day. It makes it easier the next day. It makes it easier the next time. And so we are on a this battleground that we have is a very, very important battleground, because we're fighting for life, physical, spiritual activity in our lives. How do we handle our faith, the Word of God? How do we handle our flesh, the Word of God? How do we handle our sin, the Word of God? This is the trumpet call. This is the call that gives you truth and gives you understanding. And we battle with that. We battle with sometimes our fellowship with the Lord. We battle with that spirit that lives within us. Have you ever argued with God? Yeah, I know we have. I don't think I'm the only one guilty of that. We argue with that Holy Spirit that lives within us. God sent His Son. His Son died for us. He made us a new creature, and He planted within us the Holy Spirit. And ever how many of us are in here tonight, the Holy Spirit, all of Him, is in all of us that are saved. I didn't have to pray to get Him. I didn't have to pray to receive Him. I didn't have to cry and beg and say, oh God, would you please send me the Spirit. When I got saved, He sent me the Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives within us. And He tells us, you ought not to do that. You know, there are some things that we just ought not to do. We might not have a thou shalt and thou shalt not in the Scripture, but there are things that we know that are just wrong. There are things that we know that just ought not to do. And that Holy Spirit leads us in paths of righteousness for the namesake of our God and our Father. And so we deal with this, and we battle sometimes the Holy Spirit. Well, we have a clarion call. He's the comforter. He knows my burden. He knows my tears in the wee hours. He knows my pains. He knows my sickness. He knows my faults. He knows everything about me. And I have a trumpet here that gives me the understanding that He can help me and He can restore my fellowship once again. It's interesting, the Scripture doesn't talk about restoring our relationship. He restores our fellowship. My relationship with my family never changes. My daughter will always be my daughter. I will always be the son of my mom and dad. That relationship is settled. But boy, I tell you, sometimes growing up, my mom and dad had problems with my fellowship with them sometimes. I didn't do what they always said. My dad said, son, don't you do that. And I knew I shouldn't do that because dad said I better not. And sure enough, I'd go do it. And most of the time, sure enough, I'd get caught. Most of the time, something would happen, something would be said, and dad and mom were smart enough. I didn't think they were. They were smart enough to know that I had done what I was not supposed to do. A little confession here. I remember going to school. I was 6th grade, 7th grade. We didn't have Xboxes and we didn't have phones and all that stuff. But we had ways of mischief. And that morning, I asked my dad, I said, Dad, you got any? I'm collecting pennies or nickels, whatever. Do you have some of those? He said, what are you doing with them, son? I said, well, we're just playing at school. We're just playing games and trading them around. He said, boy, you better not be pitching pennies. I said, okay. And buddy, our boys' bathroom was sort of long and deep, and it's like a casino in there. Everybody did it. Guilty, buddy. You too, huh? I mean, see how close you can get it to the wall. And if there's five of you there, you get all the money if you get the closest. But that's not gambling. That's just having fun. I said, okay, Dad, I'm not doing that. Well, that day we got busted, buddy. That very day, somehow, I don't know how, who, where. Back a couple years ago, I went back down to the little old community where I went to school, and they were getting ready to tear down the school building, and they had a big gathering that day, and I went. Me and Sharon went. And I went in that bathroom, and I remembered. And then I went into the library, and I really remembered because that's where we all had to go. There's a bigger room, and there's all of us in there. And they call the name, and so-and-so would go. I say, man, I'm safe so far. All of a sudden, my name was called. And so I go home that night, and I'm afraid to tell but I'm more afraid not to tell. And so we lived in a little small house, and room was right there, bed's right there close. All the lights were out, and I waited a few minutes. I said, "Hey, Mom, I need to tell you something." Dad said, "Did you pitch pennies today?" I'd been had. I said, "Who told you?" He said, "Nobody." And so that's how the Holy Spirit works for us. He knows what we do. He knows where we go. He knows what we say. He knows our actions. He knows our, more than that, He knows our thoughts. And I have a trumpet here tonight that tells me how I can deal and restore my fellowship back to God. My relationship, I'm always a son. My fellowship sometimes is broken because I don't do what my father says. And that trickles down to the home. And so we battle with the Holy Spirit and we deal with our fellowship with Him. Sometimes we ignore His urgings. We ignore the feelings that we just, maybe I ought not to do that. I try to make it a habit. If I'm not comfortable doing something, I just don't do it until I'm comfortable, or just try not to do it. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit says, "You better not do that." Sometimes the Holy Spirit tap you on the shoulder and says, "You don't need to go there. You don't need to be dealing in that kind of thing." And so we battle the Spirit with His urgings, and the battle comes against us, and we have to fall before Him and confess our sins to the Lord, and our fellowship is restored once again. But I wouldn't know anything about that if I didn't have a real good trumpet. If I didn't have a real good message. If it gives an uncertain sound, I don't know what to do. I've already mentioned the battle with the Scriptures, but I'm glad tonight I don't have to worry about that. I've got what I need. Really got what the world needs, and that's the Word of God that reveals the Lord Jesus Christ dying for men, women, boys, and girls, dying for the world. Sometimes we battle with the Scriptures. We read it and say, "I don't really want to do that." We read it and the Lord speaks to us through the work of the Spirit in our life. And we go to battle with Him and we fight against Him. But the Scripture has given us a very clear call. And somebody says, how do you know you're saved? You can't prove it to anybody other than your life, your testimony. You can't sit down and say, 1, 2, 3, how I can know. You can say, 1, 2, 3, this is what I did. But they'll come back and say, "Well, how do you know you're going to heaven?" And we know that only by believing our trumpet, believing our call, that we stand firm and steadfast upon the things of the Lord. And then we battle sometimes the saints. Sometimes we battle each other, and we ought not to do that unless there's reason for that. Paul says here, if I'm going to come and talk to you with tongues, what's it going to profit you unless I give you revelation or prophecies or knowledge or doctrine? Those things are very clear in the Word of God. But you see, the house of God, the saints of the Lord, we ought to be built up together in unity. In having the unity of the faith, that we can stay usable and unhurt in the work of the Lord, that we're not bruised and battle-worn, that we are ready to just do what the Scripture says do. Just do what the message gives to us, because the message is clear. I wasn't confused, and you wasn't confused either, when conviction entered your heart and realized you was lost. Had a very clear message. You know why? Because we have a clear sound. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." That's pretty clear. A lot of people say, "Oh, everybody's going to heaven just taking different routes." I'm sorry. There's only one route, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Allah. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Shintoism. It's not through all the religions of the world. It's not through the Native American, the things that they do. They're very religious, but they're lost without God because they've rejected the trumpet. They've rejected the clear call of salvation. And so we have a message to give. We have a battle of following after the Lord. Did you ever have a battle surrendering to something? You have impression from our word, from our trumpet, and the Lord impresses upon us, you ought to go do that. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit say, you ought to go talk to that individual, and you argue with the Lord? Well, I don't have time. I don't feel like it. I got something else to do. And what we're saying is that everything else is more important than that soul for whom Jesus died. And so we are sometimes in that battlefield of surrender. I was, when first began to think about surrendering to preach, I fought that for a while. And the devil threw up a lot of different side things that I would think about. Our church at that time, I think just within a matter of months, three or four young men surrendered to preach. And the devil said, you're just doing it because they are. They're your friends. And I believed that for a while. I didn't do anything about it for a while. And I dealt with that thing of surrender. And I'll tell you what, the day that you surrender to the will of God, it goes just almost as high as an importance as the day you got saved. To surrender to God. To say, here I am. And even my preacher, and I love him as much as anybody could. And he said, I want you to make sure. He did everything that he could to discourage me. And I didn't understand that. And he told me later, he said, the reason I did that is because if I could discourage you, you wasn't called. If I could turn it off, then it wasn't there. And every one of these fellows around here that surrender to preach, I've done the same thing to them. Are you sure? You do something else if you can. Because if God wants you to surrender something, he don't back up on what he says. Why? Because we have the book. We have the trumpet. Therefore, we're clear in our battle. The devil will do everything to delay us. There's things that can happen. There's dangers that's around. And there's things waiting for us. And sometimes we put it off too long and we fall short in the will of God. Doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. It just means we're not doing exactly what the Lord wants us to do. And we're just not following the Lord. We're just not surrendered. Even though the book says that we are to surrender, he wants a living sacrifice. He wants a sacrifice that's willing to go and give and go and give and do and serve and whatever he wants us to do. So when Paul says here that if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? How are we going to do it? How are we going to know our faith? How are we going to fight our flesh? How are we going to have our fellowship with God restored? We only can do that because we do have a very clear message. It's called Holy Bible. It is holy. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible, the message of God. And between these old black covers and this one just about wore out, I've got it taped together and everything else, and it's still falling apart. But between these covers, there is a trumpet. And it's been ringing out for centuries. The message of God's been going forward for year after year, century after century. Since the Lord and since Paul and since the authors of the Word of God in the Old Testament, New Testament, and then all these things were put together under the leadership of God. And there was a lot of writings, but some of those writings that the translators would look at, they were very uncertain in some of the things they said, and that they didn't meet the criteria for God's Word. Our Word is a clear message. How to be saved, how to live, how to surrender, how to enter heaven. It's very clear. And so I'm glad tonight that we have a clear message. And by having that, we know how to battle. We know how to fight. We know how to stand. We know where to stand. We know what to say, what to do. Why? We have the Word of God. And so I pray tonight that as we are in the battlefield, now the house of God church shouldn't be the battlefield. Sometimes it becomes that. But when we go to the battlefield, and that's when you go out these doors tonight, and when you go out your home door in the morning, and you get in this world, you know what? You're in a battlefield. But we have a very clear message how we can survive, how that we can be happy, how we can have joy, how we can have fellowship, how we can enjoy each other. It's all because of our trumpet. Praise the Lord for the Word of God tonight. Let's stand.